The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Thanks to spiritmotorgroup.ie. With secure online payments, buying your next used car has never been easier. With Spirit Motor Group.
My next guest is an international best-selling author, someone whose books and the everyday issues they encounter. See, the main characters focus on the mundane, I suppose, while enthralling us with the narrative. Her latest book, her eighth, is called My Pear-Shaped Life, and it tells the story that's perhaps more personal than anything else she has previously written. Carmel Harrington, good morning and welcome.
Thank you so much, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, My Pear-Shaped Life, I mean, we all use the term, oh, things have gone pear-shaped. Yeah. But you're talking about pear-shaped in the physical sense as well.
Absolutely. Well, do you know what? Choosing the title for this book, Pat, it took quite a bit of time, actually. And when we finally came up with My Pear-Shaped Life, that was in conjunction with my editor in HarperCollins, we had no idea that when we released it, everything would be pear-shaped for everybody, really. So, but the title was chosen more in relation to the central character, Greta's life, both in that her life has gone pear-shaped in that sense, but she's also overweight. So there was kind of a double pun there, really. For her.
You've wanted to write about a character who was overweight for quite some time.
Yeah, I have actually, Pat. Do you know that for me, characters always come first for me for all of my stories. And I have all these characters in my head and I'm trying to think of the right world to put them in, if you like. And for Greta's character, she didn't have a name, but I knew who she was and I understood her. And I tried to put her in a couple of other stories, actually, and it just didn't work. And then it was her time then for this story. And I wanted to write about names. And I wanted, in this particular story, Greta has a famous namesake. And so, I don't know, it just seemed to work well for her that she came out for My Pear-Shaped Life. Yeah, it seems to.
Now, there is a reason why you've chosen her surname, Greta Gale. What is it about Gale?
I've always been fascinated with The Wizard of Oz and also Judy Garland, who played Dorothy Gale in that. But more than that, I read the books as a kid. They were one of the first series of books that I fell in love with as a young child. I would have borrowed them from Wexford Library. And I absolutely adored everything about Oz. And it's kind of always stayed with me. And when I started to write about this story, I kept going back to Oz, actually, because Frank Baum, who wrote those stories, he was kind of the first person that ever introduced me to this whole idea about smoke and mirrors and about pulling back the curtain and exposing the truth. Because over 100 years ago, when he wrote those books, he was talking about the fact that the wizard is this all-powerful Oz that we see on screen, that Dorothy sees, but really it's just this small old man hiding behind a curtain. And he spoke about that, the smoke and mirrors in life, and how we all have to own up to our own powers within ourselves and accept who we are in order to move forward. And I kind of wanted to use that parallel in this story. So I decided to
And you opened the book with a quote from Frank Baum. It isn't what we are, but what folks think we are that counts in this world. Now, whatever about the time when that book was written, nowadays with social media, and you pepper fictitious social media posts throughout the book, I mean, nowadays it's so true that people try to present an image to the world via social media that is, generally speaking, very far from the truth.
Well, that's it. Everything is so filtered now, Pat, isn't it? You know, and we are given so many options. So when you go onto Instagram, just to simply post a photograph of a tree in your garden, you're given all of these different filters that you can use to distort the image from the original. And it's so tempting to go down that route. And then, of course, now, in addition to that, we can distort our own images. We can take photographs of ourselves and add makeup without putting on makeup. We can change the shape of our face. We can change our nose if we don't like it, all with a click of a button. So there's so much smoke and mirrors, I think, and filters in the world that we live in. It's very easy to forget who we really are and to focus on this filtered image that we put out to the world. That's a really dangerous thing to do, because I think if we can't accept ourselves for who we are, then we're in real trouble. And that's really now, what I wanted to look at in this book.
Well, your character is surrounded by family and there are all these subtle pressures on, you know, how to that she should lose weight and so on. And the little things, you know, in a store trying on clothes, you can do that in the privacy of maybe the dressing room and so on. But when her relationship with food is fascinating. When she watches butter melt on a slice of toast, she says, "I swore to myself that me and butter were breaking up. But as soon as I did that, I started to have dreams about it on spuds, on baguettes, on brown soda bed, on crackers with cheese, on toast." I mean, it's like when someone gives up the drink for Lent, they can think of nothing but alcohol. And then there are, they're private moments. But then when she's taking a flight and it's a public moment when she just can't get the seatbelt quite to fit.
Oh, it was just, you know, it broke my heart actually writing that scene for her. But it's something, you know, that it happens. And when I decided to write about Greta's character and that she was overweight, I wanted to own that. And I didn't want to write a story about someone who was curvy and, you know, was a size 14. She is a size 18, Pat, and she's overweight, full stop. And I didn't want to make any apologies about that. And the story wasn't about her actually losing weight in order to find happiness. It's about her accepting herself as she is. And of course, she has to be healthy. And, you know, it's certainly not saying that it's okay to be unhealthy and live an unhealthy life. But I really wanted her to accept who she was. And for her, she had several kind of almost rock bottom moments where she realized that her weight had gotten out of control, and that was being too fat to fly, as she put it herself, was one of those. And she realized that the seatbelt, just literally half an inch more and it would have closed. But she had that really awful moment where she had to call for a stewardess and ask for the seatbelt extender and feel the judgment from her fellow passengers as they saw that. And I kind of, you know, and I felt that, and I've actually, you know, I've been in that situation, not that I needed a seatbelt extender, although I've come close a few times, but I was actually beside a woman coming home from New York actually once, and she had to ask for one. And I could see how embarrassed she was, and how, and you try to make it easier for that person. I certainly did, but it's a difficult thing, Pat. It really is.
Now, there is a road trip as the latter part of the novel unfolds. And in preparation for writing about the road trip, because she goes in search of her alter ego, the person, well, the person with the same name as her, who's glamorous. And, you know, this, at the beginning of the book, she buys a garment similar to what the Dr. Greta Gale is wearing. And, you know, it looks great on Dr. Greta Gale, and it makes her look like a sack of potatoes, you know, that kind of. Anyway, she goes off in search of her namesake, and you did your own road trip in preparation for that.
Oh, I did, Pat. Now, I mean, it was lovely. Don't get me wrong, but my agent was the first person to say that I'm a method author. She penned me with that a few books back, because I do like to immerse myself in my characters' lives. And in this case, it was really nice because I got to go on this road trip. But the road trip was very important for me. It started in Kansas because of that tie-in, I suppose, with the Wizard of Oz.
Dorothy.
I wanted her to start in Kansas, and Dorothy, and to her own yellow brick road of discovery, if you like, to Las Vegas, which represents the Emerald City. But as I wrote it, and I wrote the first draft, I realized it was beginning to sound a little bit like a travel story, because I hadn't done that particular road trip myself. And it didn't have the emotional impact of those places that you only get if you visit them. So my husband and I, we spoke to our parents and managed to get them to take the kids. And we hired a car and we spent a week driving across Middle America. So we went from Kansas, which is a huge state, actually, and it's very flat. It's all prairie land. And then we went into the Colorado Rockies, which was just stunning, and drove through the mountains, the snow-capped mountains, and then through to Utah and Arizona. And then so we saw Monument Valley and the beautiful Red Rock, and then eventually ended up in Vegas. And it was actually a life-changing trip, really, because it was just my husband and I in this small car. Well, not that small, kind of a GP car, but driving
none
through
of them
these,
are.
None of them are over there, no, but it was so majestic, Pat. You know what I mean? And there were moments, genuinely, there were moments that I remember standing in front of Monument Valley and looking at the Red Rock and thinking, really, I'm just a speck, really, in this universe. And I felt my place, and I felt both huge and wonderful, but also small, if that makes sense. And I really was quite awe-inspiring. And I was able to write a scene when I came home where the characters, there are four, without saying who, because I don't want to do plot spoilers, but four characters end up doing this journey. And they have a beautiful scene in front of the Red Rocks in Monument Valley. And really that scene came from me visiting those places and the emotional impact I felt.
All right. Well, look, we have to leave it there, but we can recommend thoroughly the book. I mean, it's an easy read, but it is so profound in so many ways. It's called My Pear-Shaped Life, and its author is Carmel Harrington, and it's on sale now, published by HarperCollins. About €16, you can order it to be delivered, or you can order it online. Carmel, thank you very much.